My name is Jan Probst. As you see here, I'm going to talk about rural minority health. Those of you who have probably noticed that I'm not even slightly minority, but I head up a team that is highly diverse, and I tell my graduate students, I am your representative of the white oppressor. So we get an enormous amount of work done with a lot of a sense of humor, given that the things that we talk about are uniformly depressing. Kind of what David just talked about. I have nothing to disclose. No one is interested in me. What I'm going to do is let the old sneak preview, I prefer that so much to an outline. One of the things that tends to be forgotten, certainly by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, who are my personal bête noire in this area, are the fact that there is a significant minority presence in rural America. And as Mike hinted already, that when you pile two disparities upon one another, they don't cancel out, they get worse. And that current policies, which truly distresses me, may continue and further disadvantage rural residents. So kind of like those mortality slides that Mike showed, we are not necessarily moving in the right direction. And that distresses me because I'm old and I want the world cured before I die. Just to start out, because I'm a professor, I have to have my definitions. There's a difference between a difference, or a disparity technically means a difference, but I'm going to use it in the term of an inequity, which per the World Health Organization is differences in health status or in the distribution of health determinants. And these are inequitable differences. The example I usually give is that both I and all of my children are runners. And when my daughter-in-law beats the patootie out of me in a race, that is not an inequitable disparity. She is, after all, young enough to be my child, and I'm not that good. But the disparities that I want to talk about are those that are inequitable. Rural, I'm talking about, Mike's given you the technical definitions, I'm talking about it as a context in which people live, which very strongly affects the services that they can receive, the opportunities that they have for employment or education, and just culture. And race officially is a social construct. We make that up as a way of talking about things that really should not matter anywhere except at the Estee Lauder counter. This is, you know, I'm used to having a pointer, and it's like, okay, you're going to have to pay attention. While we think of the African-American population as being urban, and in fact the term urban is used as slang for a format for radio stations that cater to particular populations, that urbanity, urbanicity, came about not necessarily willingly. People were drawn out of the South, where the black population historically lived, to the North by a combination of the pull of economic opportunity and the push of basically terrorist activities. Nonetheless, the rural South is still significantly black. And if you look here, the darker the color it is, you are in, once you get sort of the reds to the browns, we are in majority African-American population in our counties. And I want you to remember those, where those are, because as Mike said, that'll come back. This is similar for Hispanics. Of course, if you go to places like New Mexico and Texas, they'll point out that they were there first. Seriously, I mean, where do you Anglos come from? And what are you doing skiing? So that there is, in those counties that lit up as persistent poverty, and by the way, persistent poverty technical definition is four censuses. That's 40 years of being in 20% or more of your people living in poverty. That is astounding. Here we have, as mentioned before, the minorities. You know, we do expect Hispanics, because there's this vision that all Hispanic people are like fruit pickers. We expect Native Americans to be present in rural America, and theirs are the areas that lit up. So given this fact that I will take as stipulated that, yes, in fact, there are persons of color in rural America, what happens? Well, if you happen to be a person who lives in a high minority county, you're more likely not to have the doctors, nurses, dentists, psychiatrists that you need. And an interesting finding that does come out of our research recently is that this can be, when states move out of providing public health services, it's rural that suffers. And I should, of course, as Mike and Dave did, point out, by the way, that this research was funded by the Office of Rural Health Policy, who are, after all, people who get that this is important. This is African American population and health profession shortage area status. This is physician shortages. Basically, if you're dark blue or dark brown, you are in the upper quartile for African American population and you have some sort of health profession shortage. Bam-o! This is where I want my pointer. All the slides, all the counties that we looked at where the African American rural population principally lives are lit up. And we're going to do the same thing when we flip to our Hispanic population. If you are, again, the dark blue and the dark brown are either partial or full health profession shortage areas for physicians and in the upper quartile for Hispanic population. So, okay, just pull yourselves up by your bootstraps, and there are people who have presented elsewhere and more eloquently about the shortages of services for the American Indian population. So, okay, so this is all bad, but we say, well, we're public health. Aren't we doing something to fix it? And this is a study that will be coming out shortly from Nathan Hale in our center. It was actually funded by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, and it was to look at the effects over time of what happens when public health pulls out. And in South Carolina, we have a statewide, centralized public health system, you know, sort of all shoots down, and they decided to get out of the direct provision of services, and this is early periodic screening, detection, and treatment. They used to provide that, family planning, a number of services. And what happens when the idea was that if we take public health out of the picture through better Medicaid, that we will be putting these services in the private sector will do a better job, and all these kids will be taken care of. Great theory. Again, I need my pointer. If you're in an urban area. In urban areas, there was a minor downward turn when this started to happen, but things perked back up and eventually got even back. You know, the kids in urban, it could be said, are more likely to be receiving appropriate EPSDT. But if you look at rural counties, where after all, they're going to be the health profession shortage area, a lot of our rural counties are minority counties, you'll see that when there is no one to take up the slack, the idea that we're going to put this all on private practitioners doesn't work. And I'm a little bit concerned about that going forward. Okay, so we've established that rural populations, minority populations, are present in rural America, that they are in areas that are shortaged with regard to personnel, and that public health, by pulling away, may be exacerbating problems. We've also got the ACA. ACA is going to cure everything, right? Some things. One of the problems that we have is financial access has always been harder for minority and for rural populations. Most people, how many people in this room have health insurance? Oh yeah, we're the good guys. How many people here get it from your employer? Okay, guess what? Rural America is filled with tiny employers who do not actually, even under a lot of provisions, have to provide health care. And, you know, generally have it. And when you get to the counties where you have rural minority populations, you have even fewer employers and less opportunities to get that type of insurance. At rural minority populations, I can really go on a rant on this, and Mike had to pull me back from the edge. he edited my slides. Okay, this is a statistic. This is not ours. This is from Health US. If you guys look at the Health U.S. reports out of CDC, they have like hundreds of tables. I think three of them have a rural and race split. And this is one of them. And you'll notice things are bad. There's a very clear residence disparity. Things are bad in the inner cities. Things are wonderful in the suburbs. See that little star. And then the further rural you get, the fewer white working age adults have health insurance. And you're up to over 20% in your smallest rural counties. Okay, now, if you're black, you start out bad, and you just get worse than the white folk, and you get worse. And if you're Hispanic, give it up. I mean, how are you going to run a medical practice or a hospital when 50% of the people who might be coming to see you have no insurance? I work in a Department of Health Services Policy and Management. We teach them, you know, make money, but you can't make money off people who don't have money. Well, there's my little stars for the happy suburbs. Unfortunately, the Affordable Care Act, as it was eventually implemented, is not a fix for rural minorities. This is a slide downloaded from actually the New York Times, showing where the sort of what parts of the country light up for working age adults who are both poor and uninsured. And you'll notice, if I had my pointer, I would go through the South, I would go through the border counties, I would go through Indian Country. Okay, now let's see where the ACA is, where Medicaid expansion took place, which both gets people indirectly through Medicaid and through the subsidies that are allowable. Okay, guess what? Expansion states have the lowest proportion of poor folk. And except for in the some of the Hispanic areas, it's the whole South is left out just about, except for Arkansas, which has its sort of hybrid public-private partnership for expansion. And rural minorities tend to live in the states that are not expanding. And there's a whole cruel history behind that. So again, a takeaway, there was that takeaway with regard to public health pulling out to let private care take over, not happening. An absent policy change, and I don't see where that's coming from in our current fraught political environment. I've taken to listen to sports radio because it doesn't make me cry. Absent policy change, the gaps that we see for rural minorities are not going to get better. And this has implications, and I can't give you all of my slides, but this has implications for your population's morbidity, which means how healthy are they, how productive are they, when are they going to die? And of course, I've already referenced the issue of keeping your doors open when you have people who have no insurance. I'm sorry, we cannot make bricks without straw. This is, again, out of Health US. It is the proportion of adults reporting activity limitations. This is not formal Social Security disability. This is just, I have a problem doing something. And, whoop, criminy, I need my pointer. Fasten your eyes on that little ladder. As things become more rural, the proportion of persons saying that they have a problem increases. And the patterns are fairly similar for white and for black populations, although Hispanics continue in this area to exhibit the Hispanic paradox. This is from one of our own health studies funded by the Office of Rural Health Policy. This is on, you know, if you've got working age adults who have no health insurance, what happens? These are adults who are 45 to 64. For those of you in the audience, and I see zillions of you who are kids, you have no idea, like, that eventually you will, like, get old. But you have to be at least 45 before things start to, like, break. And before 45 and 64, they start to break markedly. And basically, if you are living in a rural area, you are more likely to die, as it's been already pointed out, during your productive years, when you could still be taking care of your teenage kids. And if you are a black person, this is particularly likely. This is just, and this goes on, this is an article that we did talking about the effects of health insurance on reducing some of this unadjusted disparity. So people live here, practitioners don't, we have some bad outcomes, surely things are going to get better. Don't call me Shirley. There are adverse indicators which I would love to go in. I could have taken this entire hour and a half and never breathed in. But I just want to address two problems. One is the social determinants, and the other is a triage mentality. This is just one. This is out of the Carsey Institute. This is a more detailed slide than the one that Mike offered. This breaks it down into the central city, the golden suburbs, and rural. Look at poverty in rural African American children. We have had in South Carolina, there's a section of our principally minority counties that we call the Corridor of Shame down I-95. In 1993, a suit was brought to secure equitable funding for education of rural children to bring them up to the state constitution mandate of, quote, a minimally adequate education. Not a good education, a minimally adequate education. The state has been fighting that for 21 years. The state Supreme Court ruled on it last week that the legislators must provide funding to meet this for 21 years. That's an entire generation of children lost. And in South Carolina, the kids going to public school, except of course mine, are disproportionately minority. So we are throwing away the chances of our children if we... Oh, Mike is warning me I have 7 seconds left?
Yeah. We'll have a couple more minutes.
Yeah, I can't do it. Yeah, sorry, I get so excited. Okay, quick triage issue here. This is HIV. Takeaway, HIV is present in rural. Gosh darn, Andy and Opie and them dudes don't live there anymore. That HIV tracks closely with poverty, and that HIV in rural is getting worse. Okay, there we go. I can't talk any quicker. If it's high green, it's rural, urban above the median for HIV rate for the U.S. If it's red, it's a rural county with an HIV rate that is above the median for the whole U.S. Look at all the red. Anybody here from CDC? They're afraid to face me. All right. Seriously, just get me started. Like I said, rural is not Mayberry. The old folks in the audience will get that. In 2009, when we first ran this data for one of our reports on HIV prevalence, only one state, South Carolina, had a higher prevalence of HIV in rural than in urban counties on average. By 2010, it was 2. I expect that as we continue to run the numbers, this is going to pop up. For a number of reasons, rural counties have increasing HIV rates, which may be associated with the absence of prevention and treatment activities in these counties. How would you like to drive 268 miles to get your HIV meds because you don't want to get them local? Summing up the challenges, like I say, we have inequities to start. We have health outcomes that reflect the inequities in service availability and money. And right now, I'm not seeing where we're going that is going to prove to me that it's getting better. So I want some of all you guys in here who are bright-faced and like under 40 to come up and take on this challenge and fix it. Like I say, this is our role, CDC, surveillance. We need more. We need more. The end. Stuff you can use. Thank you.